Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every week we welcome Brian Ketchelmeyer in for Christ in the Old Testament. We find ourselves in one of the stranger books of the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel, 17th chapter, where there is a vision that is not only a vision but also a parable, as things often are for the Old Testament prophets. Now, where is Christ in this? It's very easy to get caught up in the apocalyptic nature of much of what Ezekiel sees and forget that this isn't just about end times. This is about end times comprehended in Christ. This is really focused more on what happened at the cross than what is going to happen in the future. So if we keep that in mind, perhaps we won't be so befuddled by a parable of two eagles and a vine in Ezekiel chapter 17, and be able to clearly see Christ right there. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
We do need to know, however, before we get into the parable, we do need to know the history in which both Ezekiel receives this vision, but also the history, the time at which God gives this vision to Ezekiel, that's not insignificant. How would you describe it?
Well, the fall of Jerusalem is around 587, 586 B.C., and so this whole vision that Ezekiel has and the whole time period that we're working with is about 10 years before that. And so in that approximate time period, you have Ezekiel in this prophetic office proclaiming God's word. Ezekiel chapter 1 opens up telling us that on the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. And so it gives us that time period. Jehoiakim is now in exile in Babylon. And in his place, he has a relative, an uncle, who is put into this ruling position. So it's not technically his son, and he's not technically a king. He's kind of a prince. He's a ruler because he's of this royal family, this Davidic family. And so this son is kind of a puppet prince that is put into place by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And he renames him and gives him this name Zedekiah. And so these events are taking place when you have this transfer of power, where you have King Jehoiakim has been taken off the throne by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, and a puppet prince has been put into place. Now, with this understanding of these historical events, we also must come to grips with the events that are taking place when Zedekiah, this puppet prince, is there. He had made a covenant with the king of Babylon, and he's in subject to him, but then he transgresses this covenant. He breaks this covenant, and he looks to the king of Egypt for help, so that the king of Egypt would help him to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And this is the historical background of what's taking place in these days when Ezekiel gives this parable, and this parable then is directly related to these two kings, the king of Babylon being one of these eagles, and the king of Egypt being a second eagle. And that's kind of the whole framework of why and how and the understanding of this parable to help us in this time period.
There's also something in, I believe, Ezekiel chapter 12 that we need to take note of. What is that?
What's interesting is in Ezekiel 17, you have a parable, and we'll get into the significance of speaking and teaching about the kingdom in a parable. But prior to this, Ezekiel was teaching the same thing, but he was acting out the events. So instead of telling a story, kind of an allegory or a metaphor using eagles and trees, instead, in Ezekiel chapter 12, he acts out what is going to take place. And it's very interesting if he's doing this so that the people of Jerusalem, you know, the people of God, they can see him doing these things where he puts these bags, he packs his suitcases, if you will, and he's ready to go for exile. But God tells him specifically in chapter 12 to do this, and he says that they have eyes to see, but they will not see, and they have ears to hear, but they will not hear. Now, this is important to note because it will come back up in the parable as we continue our conversation. But in this acting out, what Ezekiel is doing is he's taking these bags and he's showing everybody that we've got to pack up because we're leaving, we're going into exile. And he even digs through the wall to show that he's going to be taken out of the wall, which is corresponded to this puppet prince, Zedekiah, being removed from the city. And he even puts a cover over his head, so when he leaves with his baggage and he's got this cover over his head, it is to represent that this is what will happen to King or Prince Zedekiah when his eyes will be put out, that he will be taken in chains to Babylon and his eyes will be no longer able to see physically at all. Ezekiel will talk about this fulfillment later on in chapter 39 of his book when Nebuchadnezzar does take Jerusalem. He blinds Zedekiah and he binds him in chains and takes him off into exile. But he spares the prophet Jeremiah because, interestingly enough, the prophet Jeremiah is a contemporary and he's going around saying the same thing. He's speaking in unison, and this is what actually gets the prophet Jeremiah thrown into the cistern because he's talking about how the Babylonian king is going to besiege the city and the people must listen and not break covenant with Nebuchadnezzar. But, of course, this puppet prince, Zedekiah, will not listen. Instead, he will look to Egypt, even though Jeremiah warns him not to do this. And so all of these things are taking place as both Jeremiah and Ezekiel are speaking here.
So it's a 1-2 punch from God that is a clear... We often look at this, Pastor Ketchelmeyer, as though God is simply foretelling what will happen. But he is, in fact, also warning and calling to repent through both these prophets, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. We know what the Lord's desire is. The desire is he takes no pleasure in the death of the sinner, but he wants them to be turned and live. You'll even see this later on in Ezekiel chapter 18, where we have that understanding, that is the purpose of sending the prophets, so that the people would listen to the voice of Yahweh and live, that the people would take refuge in Yahweh and survive, because this is coming upon them, and it's a problem that they will face. And apart from Yahweh, there is no help in this day of need, this day of trouble. And when Ezekiel is explaining all of this to them, he also is going to explain to them that this promise that God made to the son of David, that a seed of David would sit on a throne, that God would usher in his eternal kingdom, that God will keep this covenant, this promise. In fact, that's how chapter 16 ends on this note, that God explains to them that they have despised and they have broken his covenant, but yet Yahweh will remember his covenant. And all of this is laying that groundwork to understand that this earthly Jerusalem must fall because the people are not listening to the voice of God, trusting in the promise of Emmanuel, that is the incarnate Son, and instead they are looking to earthly princes and earthly kings. But God assures him, even though your earthly princes are going to break covenant and they refuse to listen, God will continue to be faithful to his covenant and his promise.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series with him every week is Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're in Ezekiel chapter 17, a parable of two eagles and a vine. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Leading up to it, we have chapter 16, where God issues this warning, as you have done, I will deal with you. This covenant is very important. They have broken it. The parable serves as a prediction and a warning of what will happen. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi, Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California, Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas, Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona, St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio, Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington, Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Why do you think the way you do? And what about your friends, your neighbors, your church? Is it because of what the scriptures say, or is it because they only think what the world has told them to think?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Making the case for the church's response to postmodernism will be a crash course in the who's who of the postmodern pagan mindset, with a hard-hitting look at both the assumptions of the American pop culture world and the rarely mentioned but catastrophic effects that may not yet affect you, but will certainly affect your children.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for the church's response to postmodernism June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Well, we've set the groundwork here, and it really is important to understand the historical context so that we don't just start making stuff up when it comes to the actual interpretation of this strange parable. What is the actual parable in Ezekiel chapter 17, wherein we will find Christ here in this Old Testament passage?
Yeah, so this parable itself is about these two eagles. And so you have the language of eagles, and you have the language and the imagery of a tree. This is a horticultural image, that this tree that rises up and it grows and it needs water to survive and to live, and it has branches. It you have it kind of in twofold. The first one tells us that at the beginning there is this tree, and it is this tree in Lebanon. It's this cedar of Lebanon. And this great eagle comes with its pinions, and it takes from the top of the tree, and it breaks off the head, the young twigs, and carries it away to a land of trade and a city of merchants. And then he plants this seed in that land, and he gives it to this abundance of water. It's a fertile soil, and everything is wonderful, and it sprouts, and it spreads, and it's a vine, and it grows, and the roots remain there as it stood. And this is where you have the first kind of image of this eagle coming and taking off the top of that tree. And then Ezekiel says, now there was another great eagle, a great eagle with wings, and it also comes. And this time, this new vine, this new seed that has been growing low on the ground, it bends itself toward him, this second eagle, and it shot forth its branches toward this second eagle. And then it is now planted in a good soil and abundant water that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. And in this imagery, you have these two different kind of horticultural. You have the tree that's growing up. The top is cut off by an eagle, and then a new vine and branch is growing, but a second eagle comes, and things kind of go astray. And this is where God will use this as a springboard then to explain the parable. And this is what's striking in this passage. This whole chapter, God is using a parable to teach about the kingdom. And he will explain that this parable, the meaning of it historically. He will reveal this to Ezekiel so Ezekiel can hear, and then Ezekiel can speak and the hearers will hear. That you have this whole connection of history, actual events that are taking place where God is interacting, which is always incarnational language where God is involved in salvation history. And so God makes it very clear that that first great eagle is this king of Babylon, and that tree of Lebanon is none other than Jerusalem itself. And so the topmost young twigs are the kings and the princes, the nobility of the house of David. And so God will explain how Jehoiakim had been moved to Babylon and his uncle had been put in place as a puppet prince, this a vassal subject to Babylon. And it is God who is behind all of these things and actively involved in all these things, because God had already explained by the prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel that this burden, this yoke of Babylon will come, and you are to submit yourself to it. And so there's a covenant that is now made between the king of Babylon, where there's fertile soil and abundant water, where everything can live just like God has promised. And all of that is in continuity with what the promise of the prophets had said, that this yoke will come upon you and you will live under this yoke in humility and trust in the promise of God. But what happens is when this covenant is made with the king of Babylon, he looks to the king of Egypt, that is the prince, the Zedekiah himself, looks to another eagle, that king of Egypt, for help, and he breaks covenant with Nebuchadnezzar and then starts an open rebellion against Babylon. And so here, these roots will be pulled up and the fruit will be cut off, and he's explaining this whole destruction of Jerusalem will happen. The east wind will come, which is Babylon itself, will come and destroy these efforts of Zedekiah to rebel against God. That we understand theologically that when Zedekiah breaks covenant with the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, there's twofold problems here. That number one, God takes covenants very seriously. And so breaking even this earthly covenant corresponds to the breaking of God's covenant with the people of Jerusalem. But also number two, it is a complete rebellion against God and his prophets that Zedekiah is not going to listen and subject himself to the yoke that God has put upon him, and instead is going to trust in princes rather than Yahweh. And when God explains all of this in a parable, then he comes to the conclusion about the kingdom of the Messiah, that God himself will keep his promise, that he will bring his kingdom. Zedekiah is not going to bring the kingdom. He will fail, just like all of the true sons of David had failed. But we're looking for the one son that was promised, the son who will be born of the virgin, the seed that will crush the serpent's head. And this is the one, the Christ, who will come, Emmanuel, who will usher in this kingdom of God. And he will listen, and God will keep his covenant. So all of this will point to God bringing his kingdom and God doing this in his own time.
You say that we should see Christ here in this account as first the one speaking. What do you mean?
Well, again, when we talk about where is Christ in the Old Testament, he is talked about in promises of the future kingdom in which he will come. But he is also the one who is talking. As we've said before, he is the one speaking. And in Ezekiel, you have a constant pattern, and this same pattern takes place at the beginning of chapter 17, where the word of the Lord was to me, saying. So this word of the Lord is the Devar Yahweh, which is none other than the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the one who is the spokesman for the Blessed Consubstantial Trinity who is now speaking. This is the only begotten word of God, and he is speaking to Ezekiel, giving Ezekiel a parable about the kingdoms that Ezekiel will go and he will retell. And as you follow in the text, that this is the second person, the pre-incarnate Christ, who is speaking the word, and then very clearly in chapter 17, verse 3, this is none other than Adonai Yahweh speaking. So the word is talking, and in verse 9 again, this is none other than Adonai Yahweh who is speaking. It is the word who came to Ezekiel to speak, and you see this in verse 11. So you go back and forth with this, the word, and this word is Yahweh. Now, the first time he comes to speak to Ezekiel, he gives them this parable, and the second time he comes, he gives him the meaning of the parable, and he continues to speak to Ezekiel, like in verse 16, and say, As I live, this promise, declares Adonai Yahweh. Or he tells Ezekiel, say to the people, thus says Adonai Yahweh, in verse 22. And of course, this whole passage ends in the conclusion with the word of Yahweh saying that all the trees of the field shall know that I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh, I have spoken, and I will do it. So this is the Son who is speaking, who is true God.
There's also a more obvious connection here between Christ speaking in the Old Testament in parables and Christ in his incarnation in the New Testament, who, no surprise, spoke in parables. What would you say of that?
Well, again, it's an interesting notion here that before Ezekiel acted out this word that he was given to speak, but here in chapter 17, that in particular, the Son of God says to him, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Well, we see this like in Psalm 78, that Yahweh speaks in parables. I mean, so this is an interesting thing in Psalm 78, where the Son, the Word of God, the Word of Yahweh, is speaking, and in Psalm 78 says, give ear, O my people, to my Torah, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old. And this passage in Psalm 78 is key for our understanding of the Word of God incarnate in the flesh, who likewise speaks in parables, so that you will have a direct connection when Jesus is speaking in parables to the same Word of God who speaks in parables, like in Psalm 78 or in Ezekiel 17. So the clearest example of this is, of course, in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is speaking the parables of the kingdom. So in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples will ask Jesus, well, why is it that you speak in parables? And the first thing to note here is that Jesus will immediately connect his speaking in parables to the words of Isaiah the prophet. So that Jesus is directly making a continuity with this prophetic office when Isaiah came to speak to the people and the people refused to listen to the word. So Jesus will go back to the call narrative of Isaiah, back in Isaiah chapter 6, where he told him, he says, you will indeed hear. Because remember, he's the spokesman who sends Isaiah out. And when he sends Isaiah out, he says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. This is what he's given this word that they will never see, they will never perceive, they won't get it, because these people, their heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed. And this is what Isaiah did when Isaiah speaks, and this is exactly what Jesus does when Jesus speaks. And what's interesting in the same passage in Matthew, when the evangelist Matthew then takes these words of Jesus, now he then connects it to Psalm 78. And so in Matthew 13, the author, the evangelist says, now all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. And then he quotes from Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Now, in this same passage in Matthew 13, when Jesus opens up his mouth to speak in parables, he uses a kingdom parable that is directly related to the parable in chapter 17 of Ezekiel. So that Jesus will say, I'm going to give you a parable, and here it is. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. Well, this is the parable that Ezekiel is talking about in 17, verse 22, where he says, on the mountain height of Israel, I will plant him that he may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar tree, and under him will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. So when Jesus speaks in parables, it's directly connected to Psalm 78, Isaiah 6, and this kingdom parable in Ezekiel 17.
Well, we have one more place to find Christ in Ezekiel chapter 17. Christ is the young, tender twig. When we come back from this break with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, he's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You can find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our weekly series, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. You can meet him, by the way. He's going to be at next week's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. He'll be in attendance there along with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Craig Parton, and the speakers for the conference, Dr. Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Pastor Chris Roseboro, Dr. David Menton, and Pastor Will Whedon. Also, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be there. It's kind of a who's who of Issues Etc. Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration for the conference is limited. We are running out of space very quickly. It's also $100. It includes three meals. We have a few scholarships available for college and seminary students, and we are just happy to completely give them away. You can find out more at issuesetc.org. Interested in those scholarships, call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Brian, the last place that you would have us find Christ here in Ezekiel 17, this parable, is in that young, tender twig. What was that again, and how is Christ there?
Well, this whole entire horticultural imagery of trees and kingdoms and kings that is used throughout, you'll find this like in Ezekiel 31, where the Assyrians are called a tree, Egypt is called a tree, or even in Daniel 4, where King Nebuchadnezzar is called a tree. So that language of trees and kings and kingdoms is used in the prophetic message. Now, particular to Christ, you have this language of a root, the root of Jesse that we're familiar with, like Isaiah 11, or Jesus is the branch in Isaiah 4, or Jeremiah 23, or of course he's at Netzer in Isaiah 11. But here, in particular, he's this tender twig. So you have a contrast between the earthly kingdom of Judah, this vine with Zedekiah being planted by the king of Babylon, if you will, and it's contrasted with the heavenly kingdom of God with a new twig that Yahweh himself will plant, and this one will bear fruit and provide shade. Now, when we talk about a vine and branches, we can't get away from this Greek terminology that's picked up in John chapter 15, where Jesus is this true vine, we are the branches, and in him we bear much fruit. But in particular here, you have this unique understanding of Jesus being this tender twig. In verse 22, Adonai Yahweh, I myself will take a sprig, a twig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on high and a lofty mountain. And you have the language here of a young twig and a root. Now, we must make the connection with Isaiah chapter 52, in which we hear about the suffering servant into 53. But in particular, in Isaiah 52, verse 3, we have the same imagery of a shoot and a root. In Isaiah 53, 2, you have, for he will grow up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So it's the same language of this tender twig. But this is the kingdom of God. This is God's doing. This is the heavenly kingdom. This is not an earthly kingdom.
Now, the picture here, you said, is also connected strongly to Isaiah 53:2, which we usually are hearing. And you mentioned it before, but we are usually hearing that right around Lenten time. Sounds a little out of place, but it's a great connection for us to find Christ in this section. What would you say about that?
Well, this is how God's kingdom comes. That God's kingdom comes in his way through the preaching of his word. And in particular, that word is preached in the midst of affliction and in suffering and in pain and turmoil and in the circumstances where earthly kingdoms seem to be running the day. They seem to be reigning and ruling and oppressing us. This is how God's kingdom comes. It is through the word that he speaks to the remnant, to those who are being oppressed, that these things that you see in the fallen world, all of these earthly kingdoms, are not the place where you are to look. You are to set your eyes on things above and in this promise that the Christ will come and he will enter into time and he will be in this fallen creation and he will be oppressed. He will be afflicted. He will go through these trials and tribulations and he will be reject it and painfully die. But he's the one you're to set your eyes on, because when this one, who is this green tree, when they put him to death, we understand that God alone is the one who kills and makes alive. God alone is the one who wounds and heals. He's the one who brings the low tree high and makes the high tree low. He is the one who makes the dry tree flourish while he dries up the green tree. So this is the message that God gives us in the midst of this fallen creation where everything's in a state of corruption and decay.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds here, how would you summarize all of this, looking back on this parable of the two eagles and the vine, how Christ stands prominently there in the midst of it? With about 30 seconds, Brian.
That God takes his covenant seriously, and then he expects us to take earthly covenant seriously so that we can understand the significance behind it. That when God makes a promise, when he makes a promise to Adam and Eve that the seed will crush the serpent's head, he will do it. When he makes a promise to David that his son will sit on the throne and he'll have an eternal kingdom, God himself will bring it about.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week, we'll talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about Christ in Job, chapter 38. Brian, thanks for being our guest. Looking forward to seeing you at the conference.
Great to be here, Todd. Great to be here. I look forward to the conference.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dick Ostling of Get Religion about media coverage of religion. In particular, we're going to discuss the atheism, second stage atheism, and how the media is doing in covering atheists, the prominent ones, for about the last decade or so. We'll discuss the Council of Nicaea with Dr. James Buescher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we'll talk with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith about this week in Pop American Christianity. We'll also play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. See, the parables of the Old Testament, and there are a few of them there, and the parables of the New Testament that come from the mouth of Jesus himself, both come from Jesus. He's a parable teller. He wants to show and reveal himself in all these ways, in plain speech, of course, in plain speech, but also in these ways that are hidden. Now, we might think this is odd for God to reveal himself in a hidden way, but of course, that's precisely how he has done it. In the person of Jesus Christ, there in human form is hidden and revealed the very divinity that saves us, the God, second person of the Trinity, who is our Savior from sin and death. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.